welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in that wonderful name which is above every name. The Word of God says in Jeremiah 29 and 13, this is the Lord speaking, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." What a wonderful promise. Are you seeking for the Lord with all of your heart? If so, the Lord says that you will find him. And perhaps there is no greater joy. Amen. What does Psalm say? In thy presence is fullness of joy. It doesn't get in any bigger, any better than fullness of joy, than being in the presence of the Lord. And beloved, my heart is filled with compassion for God's people. That's why I'm on this broadcast. And it's my heart's desire that you can experience all the benefits, all the goodness of the Lord, all the blessings of the new covenant that Jesus Christ initiated when he was born into this earth and suffered and died and was raised from the dead. He wants us to have abundant life. And one of the greatest ways to experience that abundant life is through answered prayer. I don't know about you, but sometimes, I mean, we call out unto the Lord in those times of calamity and crisis in our lives, and praise God, he's faithful to be with us. But some of the greatest joys can be in the smallest, little, maybe trivial things of our day. We ask the Lord and we see his hand move and we see the answers to our prayers. And it shows the love and concern and loving kindness of our Heavenly Father to us. And so I've just really felt led of the Lord to just share on a very basic and foundational subject of prayer, because I want your joy to be full. Not Jesus wants that even more. But there are things sometimes that are in our lives that we don't realize that hinder our prayers from being answered. And so it doesn't need to remain a mystery, but if we go to the Word of the Lord, we can find reasons at times why prayers are not answered. So I'm sharing the things that I've been sharing and will be sharing as we go through a list of several of the conditions that hinder prayer from being answered, because it's my desire that you can bring your life and present your life to Jesus Christ and to ask him if there's anything displeasing to him, that he'll just remove that you're willing to let your heart and your attitude and your mind and your habits be changed. The things that I'm going to be sharing, these reasons have stopped prayer from being answered in many lives. And as we take inventory of our lives, we can see very quickly if we come up to the standards of God's Word. If we lack anything, we should immediately call on God to remove those hindrances. Now, the first thing I'd like to share with you is secret sin, or sin in our lives. The Word says, "He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." That's 1 Peter 3:10, 11, and 12. That's very clear. The Psalms say, I don't remember, I'm just going by memory, but the Word says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." But David goes on to say, "But verily the Lord hath heard me." And then I like to share Galatians, the fifth chapter, verses 18-21. And I'm going to be giving a lot of scripture, but thank God for the word. That refers to the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Very sobering and very firm and very clear. And then Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 29 through 31 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." The word also says that we're to mortify or discipline the flesh. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, which is lust, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's Colossians 3, 5 through 9. And then James, lastly, I'll share with you the fifth chapter, verses 15 and 16. "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Okay, so there's sin can hinder our prayers, and of course another sin, but one that we need to focus on, is unbelief, and unbelief is a sin. Mark 6, 5 and 6 says, referring to Jesus, "And he could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief." And in Mark the 4th chapter, verse 40, "And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And in John 20 and 27, he said unto them, this was to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And Matthew 17, 19 and 20, "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, Because of your unbelief." A couple more scriptures, Luke 1 and 20, "And behold, thou shalt be dumb," this is the angel speaking to Zacharias, "and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And that was the angel announcing the birth of John the Baptist. And then in Luke 24 and 11, "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." And this was a reference to the disciples when they were told of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So unbelief and doubt. Let me share Mark 4 and 40. "And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" He said this to his disciples who were in that storm. And in Matthew 14 and 31, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Peter had accomplished a great feat. He had walked on the water, stepped out of the boat, but suddenly he began to doubt. He saw the wind and the waves, and at that moment he began to sink. All right, there's unbelief. There's doubt, there's sin. What else can hinder our prayers? Well, an unforgiving spirit. Leviticus 19 and 18 says, "Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." 1 John 2:9 says, He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. 1 John 3:15 says, Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Proverbs 10:12 says, Hatred stirreth up strifes. Think about that. But love covereth all sins. And Romans 12:17 says, Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And then the words of Jesus, and this is so important when we pray, because so many have been, they've just been defiled by a root of bitterness in their hearts. Jesus said, If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Mark 11:25-26 says, And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, that's a lot of scripture, but I want you to understand that the word emphasizes over and over so many critical principles that sometimes we can just be oblivious to. We go on in life and we don't realize that we've allowed unforgiveness or offense to take root in our heart. And the word says, they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. What's another area? I have time for one more to share with you on this broadcast, and that's double-mindedness. No servant can serve two masters, Jesus said, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's Luke 16:13. And then 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. And Romans 12:2 says, And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. James says in 1:8, A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And he goes on to say in 4:8, Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So double-mindedness is another thing. You know, we can't straddle the fence. We can't believe the lies of the devil, and we can't believe the truth of God's word. We can't desire to be in the world and in God's kingdom. So we need to make a choice. So if there's any area that I've shared with you today, as you just examine your heart, repent of it and allow the Lord to bring you into freedom and liberty where you can begin to see your prayers answered as never before. The announcer will give you our mailing address. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass, and may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.